Hello everyone, welcome to the Mindful Chef. Chef Leisha Barnett here, and I am back home in California. Had a great time in Hawaii, and I was able to record a couple of podcasts while I was there. I hope you were able to catch them. It was wonderful being able to go to Hawaii for my cousin's wedding. Lots of family were there and friends, and it was a great time to reset and get reacquainted with some missions and goals and things that I had. And I feel like it was a radical act of self-care that I actually went alone. My family, my kids, and my husband weren't able to go with me, so I went by myself. And I take frequent trips alone without my kids and husband, but usually if I'm gone for like 5 days, my husband's with me, or you know, so it was different. It was definitely different, and it was good because sometimes you don't recognize or realize that you are weighed down and stressed until you have that moment to step away. And I'm someone who really prides myself on trying to adopt as many self-care practices as possible that are achievable and sustainable over long periods of time, even in times when finances won't allow me to go on fancy vacations. But there is something different about being able to actually physically get away that elevates your self-care to another level, which is why people who have access to leave might not be as stressed as other folks. That's a real thing. But I wanted to mention that because I definitely feel different. I feel revived. I am someone who enjoys the beach and nature and water, especially. So being in that environment was just so good for my soul, and I'm grateful to have been able to go. But I'm back, and I'm back to work, and now I am actually on the road to a farm to pick up some produce for an event that I'm doing. And yes, you guys, I'm safe. I'm hands-free, and the roads, I get bored when I'm driving, and sometimes the music doesn't just quite get it. But something crossed my mind as I am on the road here to the farm, thinking about how much of a wonderful privilege it is for me to even be able to go and get organic produce and know my farmer. If you've listened to other podcasts of mine, you know that this is really a big deal for me, and I talk a lot about the importance of it, but it is sometimes on individual particular days, it really hits me more than others. How I am going to this farm and I don't have a solid idea of what I'm going to purchase or what I'm going to do with what I am purchasing. And that is something that a person like me, I find very fun, very exciting. And it's one of the reasons why meal planning for me is a little bit not realistic. Because when you live in Ag County like I do, and there are so many farms to choose from where I can just go and see what's available, I like to play with flavors. And this is one of the ways that I achieve that. But as always, it made me think about the other side of the coin. And I talked to a lot of people about cooking and planning meals and saving money. And I didn't even realize until just now how much of a big difference it is to be able to just go to a location, sight unseen, and purchase some things and take them home and actually use them to create a meal. So I wanted to address that and then give you guys, the listeners out there, some information on how you can kind of modify that for yourself. One of the things that you probably have heard me talk a lot about is being able to shop locally and purchase directly from the farmers and everything. So if you do have farmers markets in your area, it's really great. But I have noticed that when I first started really shopping at farmers markets years ago, consistently, there was a shock to my budget, because I get there and I may have already gone grocery shopping, or I still have to go to a grocery store for other items, and I'm on the farm and or at the farmer's market in particular, and all of the sights, the smells, and the pleasantries of being at the farmer's market drew me in, caught my attention, and the next thing you know, I'm spending a little bit more money than I had intentionally planned to spend. And for some people, you don't have the luxury of doing that. So that's also why I wanted to remind everyone out there who is listening that you could go to marketmatch.org to find farmers markets in your area that will double your EBT benefits up to a certain dollar amount. That way you can make your money stretch a little bit further. And even in some communities, the markets will also honor the senior citizen certificates. In some counties, senior citizens are receiving certificates to shop at farmers markets that are not included with their EBT benefits or Social Security, whichever other ones they receive. And in some cases, some seniors are not receiving any other benefits at all. So this really does help them to stretch their budget even further. So marketmatch.org is my first tip for everybody out there listening. Go there. Find out what your options are for where you live and see how much they will increase your dollar amount to spend there. And that way you can have some sort of a foundational starting point, and you can decide that if they will match up to $20, then you can go and get $40 worth of food there and only spend $20. And know how that will impact the rest of your budget with the food. So check that out. It's a national website, so there should be some markets in your area who will honor that as well, and it will be really great. Then the next thing that I wanted to point out is that if you are shopping the market, still do your regular meal planning, menu planning activities. If you have not done those things or you need help, don't worry. I have a completely separate podcast coming hot off the press soon regarding planning your meals effectively so that you're maximizing what you have at home. One of the issues I think people have is that they interchange meal planning and menu prep. Menu planning and meal prep, and they use it interchangeably, and it's not the same thing. So meal prep is the act of preparing your meals, and that's something that a lot of people have started to establish for their small businesses, whether they are trained chefs, amateur chefs, or whatnot. It is a really hot market right now for meal prep businesses because people have many reasons why they want to purchase a meal prep system from someone. Sometimes it's about health and losing weight, and other times it's about keeping their budget intact and not ordering out or going out to lunch while they're at work and that kind of stuff. So it really just depends on you individually where you land. Menu planning is different. This is when you actually sit down and you're planning what you are going to create for your week, 2 weeks, whatever time period you choose for your household. And this is one activity that I recommend everyone do, no matter if they're meal prepping or not, because this will help you to stay focused. And it used to be something that was just as simple as writing your grocery list, right? You just write a grocery list. But menu planning is different when you are taking into consideration the number of meals that your family is going to eat at home versus giving allowances for not eating at home and ensuring that all of the ingredients that you need for your actual meal is already at home when you need it. That way you can avoid the pitfalls of having to go to the store several times in a week just to make a meal happen. And if you're like me, then that has happened on a few occasions and it's frustrating, right? So yeah, those are a couple of things that I highly recommend that you start to menu plan to get a hold of your budget. That way you have a clear mindset when you leave. And if you are like me, a lot of times you might start to menu plan and you put everything on paper and you leave it at home. So here's a semi-tip, a tip within a tip. Take a screenshot of your list on your phone. Most people will leave home without a pen or a notebook, but they won't leave their house without their phones. And that will help you stick to your list. If you are like me, you tend to remember things better when you write them down. So the act of writing them down versus using the notes feature on your phone or any other electronic type of listing application is better. And I tend to remember what the paper looked like, what my handwriting is. I can visualize it because it activates a different part of your brain when you're putting your pen to paper. So consider writing it just for that, even if you forget it at home, because you might find that your memory will serve you a lot better than you think it will when you are in that situation. But the screenshot thing is real, because I know many, many people will not leave home without their phones. So if you take a screenshot of your list after it's done, it is good because you still have your list with you no matter what. So that's just a couple of things up front. And I am going to take a quick little break right here. The commercial break, you guys, because sponsors pay well. We got to take a little break and I will come right back so we can finish our conversation about my trip to the farm and what tips I have to give you for maintaining seasonality in your home, because that's what it's really all about. When folks say you want to shop seasonally, the best way to shop seasonally is at a local farm. All right, so we'll be right back in just a minute. Hello, Mindful Chef here, Leisha Barnett, and thanks for coming back from that break. So today we're talking about shopping seasonally and making sure that we purchase seasonally. I don't know why I can't get that word today. But I wanted to make note that part of being able to shop seasonally is getting to know your local farms and farmers. If you happen to be in certain areas, then you know what is available and it's what is fresh, what is the best right when it's picked. Lots of times when you go to a market stand, the produce that you buy has been picked that morning or the day before. So it's the freshest of the fresh and the freshest of the fresh, which is great for your nutritional foundation. That really is it. It's not about elitism or anything like that, as far as I am concerned, for me personally. I know other people think differently, but when we're talking about really working to ensure that the health and wellness of the people is achieved, for me, it's all about understanding the underlying undertones of knowing that when we shop, when things are in season and we purchase things directly from the tree, the ground, the root, the stem, that we are getting the highest quality of nutritional foundation that is meant for our bodies. And yet there are still some issues there with that, because if you are not great in the kitchen, if you only know how to cook certain things, then being able to do what I'm doing right now, just showing up at the farm and purchasing some items, is really not going to work to your advantage. You're going to have some issues, right? And I want to make sure that that I continue to bring you information and content that is going to transcend just information, that it is something that you can, it's news you can use, right? So today I want to talk to you about the fall season and what's available and what you can do with it. That is pretty much, that would be super basic and easy for just about any skill level in the kitchen. I am in Brentwood, California right now at the Urban Edge Farm. It's one of my favorite farms. I know the farmer. We talk regularly. I let her know when I am coming and we talk about what her plans are, what she has grown, the flavor profiles of everything. And most farmers are this way. So if you happen to live in an area where it's like, it's a 35 minute drive out here for me to come to the farm, and coming here and getting to discuss and talk with the farmers and the staff here about what's available, how it's grown, what all of the properties are of that item. They take great pride in it, and it will make you happy to know that where you're purchasing your food from, people actually care. So that makes a huge difference. So right now we have winter squash coming in. And winter squash are my favorite squash. I do like squash in general. Zucchini is great. Yellow squash is great. But let me tell you, unless you have had delicata, acorn, and red curry, and different varieties of pumpkin and butternut squashes, as well as spaghetti squash, you are totally missing out. And one of the things that I like to mention about the winter squashes is that they are carbohydrate, but they're not your average carb. And everybody likes to lump carbs in together in their whole low carb lifestyle. But winter squashes serve as your carb. If you are purchasing from farms in the winter and in the fall season, because it's October, it's middle of October right now, the fall season, consider like easing up on all of the varieties of rice and potatoes and pasta and swapping them out for your winter squashes, because you're going to get some great vitamins. You're going to get the slow burning complex carbohydrates that will give you the energy, that will satiate you, make you feel full. And then it gives you that warm feeling that folks are often looking for as we're coming out of summer and we're cooling off. We still want that. Sometimes the weather is a little windy or it's a little cold, and you want that warm profile, at bring in the squashes. So here's some easy things to do with your winter squash. Number one, roasting it. With the cooler temperatures, you're no longer in the summer anymore. Roasting is a great way to get flavor extracted from the winter squashes without a lot of manpower or culinary expertise. So that's one thing that I definitely like to let people know. Thyme is a really good herb that works well with many of the squashes, as well as sage. So put your squashes on a sheet tray. And why a sheet tray versus other types of pans? The metal that most sheet trays are made of conducts the heat more evenly and better than using a glass baking dish or something else. If you use glass, 90% of the time your squash is going to have a steaming effect versus a roasting effect. Also, when you use your sheet tray, make sure that you don't overcrowd the tray. Because again, if the squash is piled up on top of each other and it's too much in one little container, it will steam instead of roast. And the reason why, now if you want steam, that's fine, but we're talking about roasting. And the reason why I'm bringing up roasting is versus steaming is because of the flavor that roasting brings. There's the natural sweetness in the winter squashes, and all of that is intensified when you roast it. So you can do your tray a couple of ways. You can use a silicone mat to keep the squashes from sticking. You can use parchment paper. You can use olive oil, avocado oil, sunflower oil, whatever type of oil to lightly coat the pan. Either way, it's up to you what you choose. Some people like butter. But whatever you do, not too much oil. Again, we want to just prevent it from sticking, but we do not want it to steam. We don't want it to steam or fry. And then you lay them all. Make sure you're cutting your squashes in a uniform manner. It doesn't matter which way you cut them. It's up to you, right? But when you do, make sure that they're relatively in a uniform manner so that they all cook evenly together. And then you want to top them off with your salt, pepper. I like crushed red pepper, as well as thyme and sage. You can do either or both. And this really works well for all of the squashes that I already mentioned. So if you are somebody who's afraid to mess with them, this is your ticket right here. This is the info you need. Again, also there are a lot of squashes that you do not have to peel before eating. Acorn squash and delicata squash are two that I don't peel. Red curry also, you don't have to peel them. You can eat the outer skins. Just make sure that you use a really good kitchen towel or a vegetable brush to scrub them, because when you buy from farmers right from the farm, the produce isn't store pretty. I won't say they're not pretty, because they're pretty to me, but they're not store pretty. They have dirt on them because they were grown in dirt. They're not waxy because they were coated for preservation for long periods of time or anything like that. You're going to see blemishes. You're going to see things on them. And the best thing to do is, if you have a question about whether or not something is edible, ask your farmer. But in general, you want that the vegetable brush or a clean washcloth in the kitchen. I use white towels in the kitchen because they can be bleached. That is my own thing, because then I know that they're clean. So that is the basics of winter squash. As you are thinking about winter squash, you know you can eat the skins of acorns and delicatas and red curries. And you can do some others, but those are like the ones that I'm looking at right now, and I really enjoy them. Butternut squash has a very tough skin, and it's not desirable. And those are very difficult to actually peel and work with. So the reason why a lot of people tend to get put off by it is because it takes a very firm hand to get through the toughness of the butternut squash. But once you do, the payoff is super great. One way that you can avoid the hassle is to put the entire thing in the oven. Like, you scrub the outside and you just put that bad boy in the oven on a sheet tray until it gets nice and soft. And then you can make a wonderful soup or add it to a stew or something like that in the mushy state. If you want to keep cubes or other shapes of it, you definitely have to peel and slice them. What else? Okay, so there's, it's persimmon time as well. Persimmons are a fruit, and it's a different type of fruit. A lot of people, you know, some people love them, some people hate them. Some are in the middle. I'm somewhat in the middle. I've had a couple of varieties that I think are really delicious, and others are just kind of like, leave me wanting something extra. So I'm finding that I have to like dress them up with cinnamon and nutmeg. But persimmons are good right now. And you can eat those like regular fruits. You can slice them. But they also are kind of good like with baked apples. If you wanted to do like a dessert where you bake apples and persimmons, you can chop them both up, skin on, put them in the oven. And this is a steaming thing. You don't want to roast these guys, right? But you can put a little cinnamon, a little nutmeg, some vanilla, and maybe even a sprinkle of sugar and a touch of butter. And then you have like this wonderful like baked fruit cobbler, or not cobbler unless you put the crumbles on it and everything. But it's just a really good, nice, warm dish. Persimmon holds up well to cloves and nutmegs, and some varieties of persimmons look speckled and they already taste the cinnamon to me. So those are the ones that are really good that I enjoy. We're in California. We still have tomatoes available, but we're at the end of it, tomatoes. So you will see in California, we still have like some early girl tomatoes and beefsteaks. They'll be smaller than the ones at the height of the summer season, but they're still really delicious and juicy. Cabbage is emerging, kale, Swiss chard, all of those things. I do regularly And I like to put some of the heartier greens in soups and stews that will get the kids to eat them or other people who might not like them and they're close to raw state. I personally enjoy greens at all stages, but when you have like a super curly kale, that's something that some people would prefer to eat cooked. And so yeah, you can chop up your greens and put them in a pot with some water, some onion, celery, bell peppers, and even potatoes or whatever. Make a nice super stew with that and the squashes. If you're feeling fancy and you're just in the mood to do some different flavors, the squashes and the greens hold up really well to curry flavors. So if you have red Thai curry or yellow curry, it doesn't matter. They hold up really well. So curry powder and curry spices also bring in that warmth feeling that you might be looking for as the temperature cools down and you want to warm up a little bit. So, and potatoes are still in season and we're seeing some sweet potatoes come in. I love sweet potatoes. I got my daughter, she can't stand squashes at all. She doesn't like sweet potatoes, but sweet potatoes are a staple. I just made some last night and they're great to pair with greens. I love, love, love like a smashed sweet potato or a baked sweet potato with kale or collards or turnip greens, any type of green, really. The two of them together are very complementary. You get the bite of the green and then the smooth sweetness of the potato, and it's a perfect meal by itself. Just those two items together, I'll eat regularly. So, those are my tips for navigating your fall farmers stand and farmers market. Remembering that some of your best bets and most forgiving dishes will be soups and stews because you can throw them in a pot and just add spices at will as they cook. If you have instant pots or crock pots, things like that, they are also great. And don't forget, you can add your beans too. Your beans and your legumes will give body, will give flavor, will give you the fullness that you need. And some of these things, you might find that you can eat alone without the addition of meat. I'm no meat hater, but we could all use more fruits and vegetables. So I tend to give lots of advice about fruits and vegetables and not so much about meat. What else? We have those. And then roasting is your friend. Roasting is going to bring out wonderful natural sweetness. Now, if you're not somebody that likes the sweeter profile of squashes, then roasting is not going to be your friend. You would want to steam or bake or broil or something like that and not roast because that roasting will bring out the natural sweetness. So that's all I got for you guys today. I'm really happy to be back at home and to be doing what I do every single day. And I'm grateful for this work. I just hope that I was able to give you a couple of tips here that you can use. Again, it's all about accessibility. And if you are being encouraged to go to a farm and you don't know what to do with what you got, then most people will buy stuff and it will go bad. So let's understand. Oh, another quick thing, when you purchase from farms, I feel like the food tends to last a little bit longer. It's fresher. Despite the understanding that foods that are conventionally grown and raised are more shelf stable, they last longer. If you know how to properly store your fruits and vegetables that you get from a farm stand, you'll see that they last long as well. So that would be along the lines of like making sure you understand tomatoes don't go in the refrigerator. Your squash can stay out on the counter as long as your house isn't any extreme of the or the other as far as too cold or too hot. There's a lot of things that you can keep on the shelf that will do better than if you put them in the refrigeration units. Okay, so thank you guys so much for joining me today. I hope I gave you some good news you can use. I'm gonna go inside the Urban Edge and buy my products that I'm super excited to get, and I will check you later. Thanks. This has been the Mindful Chef, Chef Leisha Barnett. Until next time, bye.